appreciate being here. It's kind of odd for me to be in a position where I'm asking people to get together, because usually I'm the hanger-on, and I'm just like chasing people so I can hang out with them. But I really appreciate it. You know, we've kind of had this structure of the Rules Committee for a while now, but haven't had the chance to get it off the ground, and I think it's a really important starting point for the RSC. I think it's a chance for us to kind of create an environment where we can use this process to be the most productive possible for everyone involved. And I think that the rules, you know, assembling the rules and devising the rules enables us to kind of take into account from an objective perspective how we want interactions to occur and how we want folks to exchange ideas. From my personal perspective, I think it's important that no idea get left off the table, that we don't prevent anybody from being able to present a solution to issues that they've encountered. But at the same time, I think sometimes our meetings with the larger committee as a whole confront situations where there's not a cohesive conversation. And it's kind of trying to, you know, as a starting point, I crafted this thing right here. And a lot of it's straightforward, but I kind of devised a specific funneling system, if that's what you guys want to call, that I would like everyone to kind of just go through and tell me what you think of it. The idea for me was to create a system where everyone has a voice, everybody can put policy proposals, amendments, whatever they want on the table, but that it gets vetted so that it meets two basic criteria. Number one, that it's a substantive policy proposal, meaning like it's an actual change to something. It's not just, and this is not a reference to anything or anyone in particular, it's not just an emotion or a general assessment or feeling, that it's an actual something we can take and as a group react to, either for or against or somewhere in between. So we're going to start at the end with this little graph right here.
Yoni, before we get into that, could we have everyone say their name for the record?
Of course.
Raul Priscilla Mendez.
Yoni Kanjakowicz.
Mike Nass.
Christina Dirks.
And I want everyone to feel free to participate. Again, this is just a starting point. You know, I've had conversations in prior weeks with Andres, and I think that whatever comes out of the Rules Committee as a proposal for running these meetings, it should be something that we're all on board with. We don't want to just kind of send it to the larger group and say, we'll let them decide, or, you know, people should feel free to pick it apart. I think that it's important that we're all on the same page here so that we can at least set a structure as folks who have been placed on kind of like a leadership committee to make sure that we at least have thought about what we're being asked to do. And we'll see where it goes. And again, I'm open to all feedback. I don't want anyone to think that I'm trying to hijack anything. So if you want to interrupt me or tell me to shut up, just do it. I won't be offended. So I feel like it's, we're on just the last page of this graph, which I so eloquently drew up. If you read this proposal, and we can go through it in detail, it basically outlines four different kinds of meetings that we would have. It's basically what we've been doing already, right? We have these kind of initial hearings, which is a broad overview. We may be introduced to a topic, we'll be told by, through a presentation, why it's important to our mission as the RSC. Then you have the initial hearing followed up by a listening session. Listening session allows for public testimony, it allows for the public to kind of take a position and express views that are critical to what the RSC is trying to do. Then we have a work session, which is deliberative, right? Everyone's kind of sitting down and we're talking about ideas. We've been introduced to the idea, we've heard from the public on the idea, and now it's our chance to kind of talk about how this might impact various stakeholders throughout the city of Portland who are involved in this conversation. And this is where this graph kind of picks up. It's the last 25 minutes of a work session. So, you know, just to put it in a hypothetical example, we've gone through we've gone through screening criteria. We've had our introductory session. Then we had our listening session with screening criteria, right? And now the next thing we're going to do is a work session on screening criteria. So what I've proposed is that the final 25 minutes of each work session shall be devoted to the RSC membership compiling a list of action items. That means anybody who's on the RSC, somebody's on the public, somebody coming from a commissioner's office in City Hall, right? That's the period where we as a group are going to discuss, I think this might be a good idea. We've identified the problem and now we're kind of we're coming up with a list of proposed solutions. When an RSC member places an action item on the list, it will be treated as a request for the specific policy proposal to come before the entire RSC and be voted on by membership during a final hearing. A list of action items shall be compiled at the end of each work session, and each list of action items shall be referred to the Rules Subcommittee. So this is how this is going to work. We have the last 25 minutes of a work session on a specific topic, right? The top line of this chart is 13 people, right? That is the entire RSC. Numbers 1, 2, and 3 have an asterisk below them. Those are the executive co-chairs. So that's Ian Davies, Katrina Holland, and Chris Bryant, right? The last five, numbers 9 through 13, I think there's 13 people on the committee, mm-hmm. right? If there's not, assuming whatever. Yeah, assuming there's 13. Those represent us, the Rules Subcommittee members, right? So I'm going to now point your attention to this little ABCD list right next to work session. A is candy canes, B is $5 maximum, C is $5 minimum, and D is 30 minutes. A, let's say, is an action item that comes down. Let's say somebody on the RSC says, I think it would be a great idea for every single renter in Portland to get a candy cane. Everybody should get a candy cane. It's really important. That's my idea. I want that on the action item list, right? The next one is, I want a maximum $5 security deposit. No security deposit in the city of Portland can exceed $5. C is $5 minimum. No security deposit can be less than $5. And D is, we want to add 30 minutes onto each meeting of the RSC, right? Let's say that this is the proposed list of action items, and I think that even though these are obviously far-fetched and don't mimic any real suggestions we've got, I think they kind of represent the spectrum of things that could possibly come up in a broader meeting with all of our membership. Some things are kind of directly related to the housing crisis, and other things kind of have peripheral value. So what I'm proposing is all 13 members come up with the work session action item list. Then that list then goes to the Rules Committee. That's five of us. We will judge the action item list on two objective standards. Number one, is it a policy proposal, right? Is it a policy versus is it just a feeling or emotion or something other than a policy? Number two, and this is taken directly from chapter 3.133 of the city code that defines the purpose and mission of the Rental Services Commission. It gives four main purposes that I've been able to pick out, right? Landlord-tenant policy initiatives, landlord-tenant regulation programs, budget, community involvement. So the question is it a policy proposal? And does it hit on one of those four criteria? Right, so let's go through the analysis, right? And the hope is that we can unanimously agree on some very basic standards, just as a funneling system so that when we send the action items back to the group, we're not going to get tripped up or distracted by proposals that don't necessarily fall within the mission of the RSC, right? It's just really trying to organize things so we can set the level of dialogue for the final hearing when we're going to vote. So, candy canes. Everyone in the city of Portland should get a candy cane. Well, is that a policy or proposal, right? Is that something that would alter the state of a city ordinance or the law or the city code? Yes, arguably candy canes, you could legislate that candy canes should be given to every renter in the city of Portland. However, does it fall within the mission of the RSC? Meaning, is it a landlord-tenant policy initiative, a landlord-tenant regulation or program, budget, community involvement? In my opinion, what I would say if this proposal came forward is that yes, it's a policy proposal. However, I don't think it falls within the mission of the RSC. Why? Because giving, I would say in this hypothetical debate, giving certain folks in the city who rent candy canes doesn't necessarily hit on the purpose of the RSC. It has nothing to do with landlord-tenant relations, doesn't deal with budgeting, but it's okay if you guys have a different opinion on that too. $5 maximum, right? That's not something that I could see everyone agreeing on substantively for a security deposit, but I think we could all agree that it is a policy proposal and it meets the criteria of the mission of the RSC. Same with $5 minimum, right? It's not something I would expect all 12 or 13 of us to agree on, but it's an idea that there's enough meat on the bones that it could actually go before a group of 13 people and everyone could talk about the consequences. And the 30-minute rule, I would hope that all five of us would say, this is kind of administrative. This doesn't really deal with the rules of the committee. This is something that should go to the group as a whole. Why should we be the one setting the schedule or the time constraints on the meeting? So let's stick with this $5 maximum just to keep working through the chart. The $5 maximum, let's say that everyone agrees that it's a policy proposal that falls within the scope of the RSC's mission based on those four criteria, and everyone agrees except for me. I'm the only one who says this shouldn't go on the action item list. This should not go back to the group as a whole. It doesn't meet those criteria. At that point, there's an appeals process. Anything that we don't come to a unanimous consensus on as a group of five, again, not judging ideological or substantive policy ramifications, but simply doing these basic spot checks, If it's 4-1 or 3-2 or whatever, anything but unanimous, it will get automatically appealed to the executive committee, which is Katrina, Ian, and Chris. And they will vote by majority-minority vote, 2-1, whether or not they think that that can be added for the final hearing on screening criteria or any other topic. So that pretty much takes it through. What are the benefits of this? Number one, I think that we can play a role here to keep things organized. We represent very different stakeholder groups. We have different positions on things, but it shows that at least in terms of the rules and the ways to interact with folks, we can get along and we can create some sort of process, hopefully most of the time unanimous. For the appeal, when we don't agree, that goes to three people who have been selected by City Council and the mayor to have leadership positions. All in all, every single action item is going to come from one of the 13 members and will be vetted by 8 out of the 13 people on the entire committee before it goes back. And I just think that it's going to do a lot of good to set the tone of how we want productive debate. What I envision is not everyone coming to consensus, but what I envision is at least we're going to get action items that are solid policy proposals on the table, and we're going to have the chance to have robust debate and disagree with each other about it. That all 13 members of the commission will have a list of things that we will go through, between the work session and the final meeting on a topic, and we'll have the chance to kind of create a real process where people's most important opinions are being stated on the record. So, thoughts?
So, Yoni, are you envisioning that during these work session meetings, we would be listening and picking out what the action items are, or we're asking at the end of the meeting to tell us your action items,
yeah,
and then we're compiling the list from what people tell us?
The way I envision it is basically everyone at the 25-minute mark, someone says, action item time. Everybody's been talking about an issue up to that point, and now everyone should feel free to throw down their suggestions for how they think a specific problem or a specific proposal regarding screening criteria or anything else. And then it gets sent to us. We make sure that it's just within the scope of the RSC. And then it goes back to the group. And those are the things that we will have formal decisions and opinions on.
So can I clarify something with you?
Of course,
you,
yes.
When you say So this process would be both for structural rules and policy recommendations to City Council, or just policy recommendations to City Council? So you're talking about anything that is related, when it, just to clarify, when you are talking about the actual structure and the buildup of the RSC, so how we operate on a day-to-day basis, that wouldn't go through this process, but whatever policy recommendations we choose to vote on, we would initially vet to see whether or not they're actually policy recommendations?
Yeah.
Is that what I'm hearing?
More or less. Okay. More or less. I mean, there's a few things in this that are more structural or administrative, basically just talking about the executive committee, which is the three folks, the rules subcommittee, which is us. Another key point is that I created a public engagement subcommittee, which would be responsible. The way I wrote it in here is that the public engagement, this is the first page, it's under bylaws 2C. The public engagement subcommittee shall consist of two members of the RSC and shall include one tenant advocate and one housing provider. Both members of the public engagement subcommittee shall receive approval from a majority of RSC membership prior to assuming their posts. This public engagement subcommittee comes in, if you turn to the next page, for the listening sessions, right? And essentially, we're appointing folks who are in charge of organizing public testimony and informing people throughout their networks, taking a lead on coming to discuss a certain topic from a certain perspective. And it would kind of give structure to the listening session so that the tenant advocate member gets to pick the first three individuals to testify, and the housing provider gets to pick the first three they want to testify, and then we alternate back and forth.
Do you think we need that? I mean, we didn't have that the last listening session. It seemed to go smoothly.
I'm not sure we did. This was drafted before the listening session. I felt that the listening session, the comments could have been more focused specifically on, I'm a renter, and this is how screening criteria has made life difficult for me.
I think the folks that are already, like, mobilizing the troops are going to mobilize the troops regardless if they're on this committee or not. I just think it may be extra work that people don't need.
I'm happy to get rid of it. It was an idea I thought up before we actually had the listening session. I thought by and large that went well.
Yeah.
It was tame. People said a lot of poignant things, and I'm happy to abandon that part of it. But the main bulk of this is really this system of just coming down with a list for people to debate things, and trying to create an order around which this committee can debate things.
I do have some concerns. I have concerns about the issue of the rules subcommittee, and this isn't meant to be an insult to anybody in the room, but like the issue of actually anyone being capable of being 100% objective and determining what does and doesn't constitute policy, right? I see this as kind of giving us a little bit of extra power in determining what does and doesn't get heard in the Renter Services Committee as a broader body, and that makes me nervous, not for my own abilities to determine what is or isn't policy, but more so just giving sort of that level of authority to whoever makes up the committee, right?
Sure.
So my concern is, is there any sort of check or like broader membership vote that we could take to where if people on the rules subcommittee determine that something does not meet the criteria of whatever it is that we did, but the majority of the Renter Services Committee body determines that it does, there could be like an override? I think what concerns me is just having this as a filter and not having any sort of counterweight to it.
I totally understand. So it's exactly what you're talking about in terms of trying to balance, right? Mm-hmm. We, on the one hand, we don't want to be gatekeepers. We don't want to be the folks who are restricting ideas. On the other hand, there's been a few meetings where it just seems like the most well-intentioned folks are saying whatever they want to say, and it's not necessarily in response to what has been discussed previously, and that kind of feels scattered to me. The only thing I can say to quell your concerns is I did try to create this appeals process where, again, let's say Candy Canes is voted 4-1, mm-hmm. and I'm the only one that says Candy Canes is not a policy proposal.
Right.
Then at that point, it would go to the executive committee, and Christina, Matt, and Ian would vote on a 2-1 basis. So I tried to create a system where basically a majority of the entire committee was vetting things to finalize that list. But again, I'm also happy if it gets to a point where it doesn't get through Rules Committee, doesn't get through this last one, mm-hmm. then and people want to start some sort of, we can add in something that's...
Oh, thank you, appreciate it.
You know, we can add in something that says 2/3 of the group wants
this. Did you want some, Christina?
Oh, I think I actually have
okay.
Thank
you. Yeah, thank you, appreciate it.
So, it's kind of the best I could come up with.
Sure. And I have been, I mean, don't get me wrong, I've been in advisory committees that just spin their wheels, right? We don't want to just go wherever an individual train of thought takes us. I think that's a prudent concern. I do feel that, you know, just speaking from a systems perspective and having both the people who are serving on the Rules Committee or the Executive Committee, are those both appointed by the mayor? Both of the committees are appointed
by the
mayor?
It's a good question. Yeah, who appoints the people?
The Housing Commissioner.
The Housing Commissioner. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay. So in this case, the mayor. So, I mean, that again is sort of a concern mm-hmm. for me in terms of, and this isn't a dig at,
no,
at our current mayor. It's just giving sort of one person the authority to select the people on the committee and then really stacking both potential, and I mean disparate interests, right? We are all coming at this with different perspectives,
right.
different experiences, but having someone who doesn't have a ton of experience on an advisory committee but has other valuable experience that
mm-hmm.
they can lend,
mm-hmm.
having people who are really good with processes but don't necessarily have a lot of on-the-ground experience. You want to have a balance of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so what, I guess just that concern is still there for me.
Sure.
In the sense that the people who are getting selected hopefully are selected through a process that's
mm-hmm.
fair, but you're still kind of stacking the deck a little bit in terms of the decision-making processes that happen with the broader committee. I would be more comfortable, I think, with this process if there was some sort of accountability beyond the executive committee,
like a veto, like
right,
2/3 or something.
Sure, like if
okay.
if we structured the rest, if we gave the opportunity for the rest of the committee to weigh in
mm-hmm.
and have sort of, yeah, like we all agree or most of us agree. And right, like if
yeah.
you're talking about the executive committee and the rules committee, you're talking about almost the majority already
right.
of the RSC. So maybe my concerns are a little overblown, but I do want to make sure that there are some checks there.
That's fair. I think that's fair. It's something that I feel comfortable adding, but again, I think that, you know, I was warned not to make it overly procedural.
Yeah.
Right. Because as much as we can get lost with the single member's train of thoughts, we can get lost in this process. What do the
sure.
rules say? What rabbit hole do we run down?
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is that every one of the members on the committee has been appointed by the mayor.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just, you know, yes, we're on the rules subcommittee, but we're also subject to whoever appointed us.
I mean, we also were confirmed by city council. So, I mean, there is that additional process. So I think I get nervous. I don't like having a lot of extra power,
yeah.
right? I don't want to be wielding some crazy amount of
right.
influence.
Right.
Because I don't know, you know, because I trust myself, sure, I don't know who's going to be here when I'm gone.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to set up structures, especially
sure.
if we're doing this groundwork, that are fair and continue to be fair. So that's
a fair point.
Yeah,
And I'm happy to create. It's not just me. I'm happy to be part of a process where we
yeah.
collectively create more safeguards
mm-hmm.
to ensure that participation is meaningful.
Yeah.
It's just the main problem I identified that I've only met a couple of times, not as a subcommittee, but at the RSC, is just that, again, I don't want to beat a dead horse. Some of these conversations felt so scattered that I didn't even know what we were voting on. we would come back and vote on something that may have been brought up 20 minutes earlier, and I wasn't even sure. Thankfully, I'm not totally stupid, so I do have some sense of what I'm doing, but I just wanted to make sure that, at the very least, we're coming back to a set document or a set list that the group as a whole works off. We're all starting from the same place. And we got through items one and two, and before we close, we have to get through items three and four, you know?
Yeah.
And my feeling is that, like, this committee will only survive if people feel invested in it. And it doesn't matter if you're a housing provider, it doesn't matter if you're a tenant or a tenant advocate or property manager. How do you get someone from such different backgrounds to feel invested? Well, we start churning out opinions. We start making meaningful contributions about the issues we're discussing. So at the very least, whether we recommend complete nonsense or not, whatever city council and the mayor's office is receiving is we discuss this list of proposals. Here is in favor of it, and here is not in favor of it. And for the folks who didn't find themselves on one side or the other, they wrote their own individual opinions. At the very least, we're giving context to the debate that would eventually be part of the legislative process.
I'm busting out my calculator.
No, it's cool.
I'm not actually, I'm not just playing on my phone. So, the executive committee and the rules committee make up 60% of the membership.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think if we just did like a simple like 2/3 vote or something,
sure, with
the regular membership, just adding like one or two people who aren't on that committee.
How do you guys feel about that? You're okay with it?
Mike? Yeah, and it can be, you know, handled, because basically we're taking the, not the final decision.
I mean just like as an override. I don't mean with everything that we decide on, but if there's controversy.
Yeah. So basically from the work session, we're going to take, these are the action points
that
are going to go to the subcommittee, and then prior to the final work session, it can start with the subcommittee saying, here's what the outcome of those action steps were. Mm-hmm. And then it can, at that point, have an opportunity to be flagged that this should be talked about.
Why. Right.
Okay. Yeah, I'm comfortable with that.
Okay. So I guess the next question then is, the other thing is, these rules that I wrote up call for, they define like what's called an inner work session, where basically the 25-minute action item period ends.
Right.
That's basically, we would either assemble, it could probably be a conference call on the phone, but it's basically we talk as a group and we go through the objective analysis ourselves. Is this a policy proposal? And what's your argument that it's either a policy initiative, a regulation or program, budget, or community involvement? And I think that doesn't have to be an extensive conversation, right? We're just, again, the goal here is to set some sort of focus so that the real debate doesn't come in on setting the agenda. The real debate comes in on the changes that we think are necessary to solve the problem we've been asked to approach.
Yoni, can I make a wordsmithing suggestion?
Of course.
When you're talking about the, in, what is this, where it talks about the criteria, is it a policy proposal versus...
Yeah.
You use the word substantive policy proposal.
Okay.
I would either strike that or I think we need to define it.
Sure.
I mean, I think if it's either a policy proposal or right?
Policy proposal.
Yeah.
I
think substantive adds something that I think we don't want to add that layer to it.
Right.
Yeah. You can always count on me to throw an extra word.
You're a lawyer, I get it. I'm with you.
That's very well aware.
Yeah. Oh, well, thank you.
It leaves that squishy language so you can be like, it's not substantive. I'm not a lawyer by trade.
I'm
not a lawyer by trade, but I write policy.
So, I mean, look, the truth is, it's going to be extra work because we're going to be, I mean, I guess it is giving us a little bit of an additional role here. It's going to be extra work. I think that the way the RSC as a whole functions is if we get invested, I think the rest of the group will get invested. And this just sets a system where folks can kind of be prepared to know when things are coming up, when they can challenge them, instead of just having everything at once, which has felt overwhelming to me. But I'm always overwhelmed, so, you know.
Another concern that I have is also just our conflicting schedules as a subcommittee, how hard it's been to get us to meet.
So what I was thinking, that's a good point, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, that's good.
What I was thinking is, if the executive committee is meeting, they have like a separate meeting in between, maybe you could just do it right before or after the three executive co-chairs. And again, if it can be facilitated through a conference call, I don't think we necessarily need to be present. It's more like the rules subcommittee went through these five things, and one was deemed problematic that's going to be appealed, and if it's right before the executive committee can take it up right after.
Is that okay from a quorum standpoint, making it a conference?
Yeah, we'd have to make it a public hearing.
They could call in or something.
Right, and if we hosted a public meeting with everyone on speakerphone.
Who's everyone again?
Five.
The whole city?
Just the five.
Just the five.
Not with the executive committee.
No, it would be before the executive committee. Yeah, so we could just set up a speakerphone in a room and start a public meeting via phone.
Yeah, and then give people opportunities to give public testimony. Is that a part of our meeting minutes?
That is, right now we've set it up so public testimony occurs at the full RSC meetings, but not any of the full committees and not subcommittees.
Makes sense.
We can change that if people want.
Whatever. I don't have strong feelings on any of that.
I think as long as we pick a standing time, it's always this, first or whatever,
right.
We can at least schedule for it, and if we can't do it, we can weigh in by email in advance.
Right.
So here's my opinion,
right.
And if it disagrees,
right.
We'll sort it out.
Mm-hmm. That's fine with me.
Do you guys think I'm on point in terms of what I've tried to identify as an issue and how to resolve it? The last thing I want to do for anybody, regardless of what professional or personal background they're coming from, is make them feel that their voice needs to go through a gatekeeper.
Mm-hmm.
I just want this committee to work, though, at the same time.
I
like, we're investing a lot of time. This is like the third meeting this month for many of us. And I really want something to come out of this, even if it's just conflicting positions on stuff that's being proposed. I want it to matter. I want somebody to hear a lot of the things that we're thinking and talking about, and I'm trying to just expedite that process through these rules.
I think people will appreciate having a structure and kind of knowing how things are, like ideas are moving through this committee.
All right.
Yeah, I think as long as we make the process transparent and have accountability built into it, I don't think there's a problem with
it. Okay.
It also gives the public something to see as far as steps that are being taken between meetings and cohesiveness.
Yeah, and I think it also, again, like, there's a lot of freedom here. PHB will draft, what I wrote in this is that PHB will draft the opinions, but if you disagree, you let PHB staff know you disagree, you'll see a draft. Like, if you're in the minority or majority, you'll see a draft, you can let them know you disagree. If for whatever reason, a change that you want hasn't been made, you reserve the freedom to write your own opinion on any topic, right? And it could be your own voice, no matter who you are, saying, like, this is the benefit and the problems that I see with a specific proposal that's not contained in a majority of opinions. And I think that it really goes a long way, right? Like, we're trying to convince city leaders that people have the solutions because they're living in these situations, whether you're a business person or a tenant. I think it goes a long way to create a structure to just get things organized and package it up for the folks who will ultimately try to do something about it.
Yeah. I think that's right.
All right. So, could you kind of educate me on the next steps? Is it?
Sure.
I don't know if we're ready to vote. I don't know if people feel comfortable to vote.
So I think there's some things we can go over quickly to give people a bit of time to digest.
Sure.
One of the handouts you all got was the ordinance. I'm not going to walk you all through how to read ordinances because I think you already know. But I do think it's helpful. I know as staff, we've come back to it multiple times because it provides guidance for the commission and what the commission was intended to do. And I think that's an open question that people have had. So it's in Exhibit A, where they actually go into what the group's intended to do. The mission was to advise the Housing Bureau Director, the Housing Commissioner, and Council. And then in the duties, A, B, C, and D is kind of what Yoni has pulled as the purpose of the group. in that it centers on these four different topics of policy, regulations and programs, budget, and community involvement. And so that is what council envisioned when they created the commission. That is hopefully what we are working towards. I think that there's always room for recognizing areas that the entire commission feels should be addressed that may not fall neatly in that, but that's kind of like the core direction that the group's been given. Also, if you ever have any questions, we come back to this all the time. And so I know since you are all the Rules and Bylaws Committee, I thought it's helpful for you to be reminded of it, to have it, because mm-hmm. you're the primary body for remembering that within the membership. Another handout that I provided was the bylaw template for the city. So the city is going through this process where they recognize that they have a number of advisory bodies and that each body was created in a different period of time and with different purposes, and so they're trying to now standardize it. This process is moving slowly, but I want to say last November, council opened up a project to examine all of the advisory bodies and to try to have some kind of recommendations or steps or guidance to make them more similar. And so as an early document from that, the city attorney's office created a bylaw template. They have been clear that it is not a requirement. It is provided as guidance to groups as they create their bylaws. And I think what's helpful in it is to see what they feel bylaws should contain. Mm-hmm. It's fair to mm-hmm. say that you think that something in here isn't important enough to have in your bylaws, be that it's overly technical or bureaucratic, that you just don't feel like it's relevant to this group. But I do think it's helpful to go through and think, is this in our bylaws? Do we want it in our bylaws? Yeah. It's also always fair to add things that are not in here, but I think it's a helpful step for everyone. Yeah. And so my recommendation would be, there are some things in the proposed bylaws that are just language changes, like replacing mayor with housing commissioner. It sounds like there's been conversation around adjusting the listening sessions and the public engagement subcommittee. I think I read something else in here. But I would suggest talking through all of the changes you want to make and then having a final draft of the language before approving it as a committee.
That's fair. Can I borrow a pen from someone?
Yeah.
Bring it. Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right, so the changes I heard, and bring up anything you want. So number one is the 66% veto after the executive co-chair.
You can just make it two-thirds, because I don't know.
Okay. Two-thirds. Are people comfortable with that number, two-thirds, and are people comfortable with adding that as kind of a last ditch, like your thing didn't get through, you have the opportunity to bring it to the group and ask other people? Yeah,
yes.
Great. The other thing is get rid of the term substantive policy proposal and just put
policy proposal.
Yeah. And then do we all agree that we don't need for the listening session, we don't need any public engagement committee, that'll take care of itself?
I think so.
Folks need to know they'll come and...
Yeah,
okay.
Because PHB staff's still going to be a part of all that, right?
Yeah.
Well, Matthew wants to know.
But I also think the challenge there is with two people.
Yeah.
You can't ever get together and talk about anything then.
Yeah, that's another thing to consider. So
you have to pick two people that never talk to each other, ever.
Or else it's quorum and their meeting has to be public.
So that's something we've run into a lot with this commission, because it's a body of 13 people with three bodies within it. And so, like, when Jamie wanted to invite you all to the screening criteria groups, she's concerned about quorum, because if three of you are there, or two of the executive committee, or seven of the whole commission, mm-hmm. you hit quorum of one of those groups.
Right.
And so the more formal groups we create, the more we have to mind quorum.
Okay, so I think we could go without it. Right.
Yeah.
So one question I had for all of you about the listening session was, and this is just my personal opinion, and I don't want anyone to take offense to it. Mm-hmm. If we provided all speakers with a prompt or set of prompts that was specific to what we want discussed, And I think everyone did a great job participating past listening session. I was just wondering if we had a prompt that said, talk about how screening criteria has affected your life as a tenant or business owner, right? As like a focus thing. So there's not, you know, so it's kind of hitting more of the point, right? We want each of these listening sessions to be focused on the specific topic that's been designated and not just kind of bleed into the larger conversation on the housing crisis, right? We want like focused solutions, focused impact. Is that something people would be opening to, creating like a generic prompt that would be approved by the entire commission, or a choice of prompts or something that they could talk about?
I think having those as suggestions would be helpful. The issue of compelling people to do that is that there's a couple issues that run up with that. Number one, you have different levels of understanding, right? Mm-hmm. So you can have folks who are very upset and mm-hmm. want a place to air their grievances mm-hmm. and don't necessarily have the language for it for mm-hmm. whatever reason.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
Actual language barriers, levels of education, mm-hmm. levels of understanding, whatever. That's the first issue. The second issue, if you tell people what they can talk about, that's going to delegitimize the process.
That's a good point.
Going to frustrate people if they're just like, well, this is all I can talk about.
Right. Yeah. Okay, that's a great, thank you for bringing that up. I think that's a great point. So suggested prompts, or should we just leave it as it is?
I mean, they're pretty well advertised on being a specific subject. And I feel like folks are going to come knowing that's the designated subject. If they want to go off script, they go off script.
Then we don't need it.
And I agree with that. And it was verbally, I mean, you verbally presented that. This is what we're talking about.
Okay.
I think for the most part, people stood inside those boundaries.
Cool. All right.
There was an ask, though, from people at the listening session that were like, I tried to find information about this, and all I found was a poster. So I think like a takeaway as a staff member was that people seem to want more material, and like people when they were checking in kept asking like, are there handouts? And it's like, no, they're not handouts. We're here to listen to you. And I think people wanted like, give me paper that tells me more information.
Just like what we're considering as a commission.
That'd be also good for us for reference too, so we can remind ourselves, you know. What we
mean. Okay. So then, what in response to that?
I mean, it could just be a handout for events.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And like, public. It's a handout for everyone. Yeah.
Okay. Anything else that you guys have identified? I did put in there. I spoke to Katrina Holland. About a month or two ago when these were initially drafted, and we kind of collectively came up with this suggestion of if folks feel they want to anonymously testify, we will make that possible.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be anyone of any ilk.
Yep.
So, you know, I don't know if we have a process in place to do that just yet, but I think that we can manage it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's in there. Yeah, are there any other things that you guys want to, I will go through these and make all the changes that that the group agrees on, so.
I have some nitpicky ones.
Yeah, go ahead.
So under Mission A, it says concerned housing activities, and we should probably say rental housing activities, because that's our focus.
Yeah.
And then, jumping to the final hearing section.
Yeah.
Oh no, sorry, the formal opinion.
Formal opinion, okay.
Where it talks about the majority and minority opinion.
Yes.
In sub A, it talks about alter current regulations, and I think some of the proposals are not necessarily going to alter, but they may relate or interact.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I think we just want to expand that word alter.
Do you have a suggestion? Adjust or concern?
Alter or interact with current?
Interact.
Or relate to?
Relate to.
And then I thought it would be important when you're talking in sub C, when you're talking about proposals that improve housing choice, I would also say and or reduce displacement.
Okay. Thanks for focusing my attention there.
And I think those are repeated in the minority opinions as well.
Yeah, those are repeated. What I tried to do with the majority and minority opinions is I obviously the focus should be on why, in the majority opinion, on why you're in the majority, and on the minority, why you're in the minority. But I did include some language that asked people to think about why, you know, what's the economic impact going to be? Can you kind of voice economic impacts? And I'm not necessarily seeing it from the another side's perspective, but just addressing those and kind of doing an analysis of consequences, unintended consequences, as much as we can. So like D is a brief analysis on the potential economic consequences that the proposed action item will have on Portland's rental market, including but not limited to prospective current renters, housing providers, and property managers. And just trying to see how, because I think that a big part of this is not just what we want to see happen, but making sure that we talk through potential consequences as much as possible as part of that process from all angles, right? I don't know how people feel about that.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously there's an equity lens too, right? Where both sides are going to be asked, like, you know, if you don't support this, why doesn't it, does it still have the equity impact even though you don't support it, you know? Or are you not supporting it because there is no equity impact or something like that, right? Just kind of getting to see things from different perspectives. And then there's, you know, this draft opinion, right, 72 hours to make suggested changes if PHB staff, I felt like we could have written the opinions ourselves, but like we're volunteers and I don't think any of us, unless you want to, have the time to sit down and write an opinion for the whole group. So if PHB writes it based on the content of a final hearing discussion and you don't agree with it, you have the right to ask them to change it. If they don't want to change it, then you can write your own opinion. There's a time frame listed for that.
Should it be 72 business days? 72
business hours.
Yeah.
72 business
Thank
hours?
You. Yes. Cool.
Sure.
Just really extend that time.
Yeah, 72 business hours. And then the final opinion is no later than 10 business days following the issuance of the draft.
Or
so,
you could just say 3 business days, because 72 business hours would actually extend like 10 business days.
Okay.
It's a much longer period of time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I never thought of that before.
Well, 9 business days.
Well, that takes me through my portion of it. I do appreciate everyone's time. I will make the...
Can we start one more note?
Yes.
I think it would be probably a good idea to add clarity around whether or not any of the meeting categories can extend beyond one meeting, or if not, you're not specifying here, at least detail the process.
Yeah.
Does the entire body commission have the ability to carry over a work session across multiples, or do they have to get it done in one work session, or with a majority you can extend the and have the work session carry over to the next meeting, that sort of thing. Just so that the commission itself is really clear before there's an intense work session. I'm really thinking the work session. I don't think it's going to be the hearing or the maybe the work session or the final meeting. Whether or not that has to occur in one meeting or can occur over multiple meetings, and if so, what's the protocol for making that decision?
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, how do you guys feel about that? I kind of, in my mind, would have categorized that as like an administrative thing that should go through the whole group to vote on. But I don't know if that's how you guys see it. I don't know. What, do you have any suggestions?
I would just say that it's a decision of the commission.
Of the whole commission.
That the meeting categories, and we can work on where to put it, but
yeah.
They don't necessarily need to occur within one calendar meeting or one day meeting.
Sure, yeah.
But with a majority vote of the commission members, the work session can be continued on at the next regular current, or the next meeting of the commission, something like that. And that way, if they need another meeting, the body can say, yeah, we need to keep this work session, we need to carry it over to the May meeting, or the June meeting.
That sounds good to me. Are you all comfortable with that?
Yeah, that sounds good. Okay.
And do we need to go through this proposed template bylaws and figure out what else we need to include?
We can work on
Yeah.
We don't have to do it in the main meeting.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think just for the record, standardizing I think Oni's working on this, right? Oni's the one in charge? Yeah. So we are, my day job, through Latino Network, working with Oni on community engagement stuff. And just from a community engagement perspective, having the most standardized rules possible is really, really important. For when we train folks to serve on these committees, it makes it a lot more accessible if there's one sort of template for folks who are community members who otherwise don't have access to community structures.
Yeah.
So on record for that.
Okay. So I'll make those changes, and I can send it around again, and maybe we should just, can we do a vote via email if I send it down? No, we cannot vote via email.
It has to be a public meeting.
So we can do it over the phone, though, right?
Like, do you guys want to do it over the phone?
As long as we notice the meeting.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
Over phone.
And so staff will work between now and then to merge the city template with the draft that Ioni has and the changes he makes. And so we'll have that out to you. What we've been doing most of the time, and I did not do it with this meeting, and I apologize, is to provide all the materials a week in advance. So that will give all of you a chance to review it. And then since you are having a phone meeting, I would recommend that if you have a specific change or something you want, have it written out. And so you can verbally read specific language about what you want to change, because it will make things go a lot smoother. Sometimes phone conversations can get really jumbled.
All right, so I think we have some direction. I will work on these changes ASAP and send them out to the group, and we can schedule.
Do you want to schedule it now while we're all sitting?
Sure.
I think that's helpful.
That's a good suggestion.
And you had talked about doing these, I think, regularly before the executive committee meeting, but the next one is April 4th, so that's
right.
Next week.
So the Rental Services Commission meets on the third Tuesday of every month. The Executive Committee meets two Wednesdays before that, which is not an exact day of the month.
So it's in relation.
It is sometimes the first and sometimes the second Wednesday of the month. And
wow.
So that's why I phrase it.
The second.
That they
sure.
Meet two Wednesdays before.
It's like a geometric proof.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
I have a calendar with all of them circled, so I don't miss it out.
This is for the phone call?
So we can get on the 17th with the RSC, so we want to have the phone call before that. Is that what we're...
I honestly, I'd recommend having it after. I think that this coming meeting is going to be packed, and so the only time restriction you all have is if you want to get it on as soon as possible, I would shoot for the May meeting. And so having it before the May Executive Committee meeting would be
which is on what day?
The second?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
And so I would recommend having your meeting by April 25th.
Okay.
Because that will give us time to let the executive committee know what's going on and hopefully get it on the agenda for me.
If it's going to be pretty quick, right? It's basically just going to be a vote of material that's created prior to. Do we just want to do it on the 17th prior to the RSC actual meeting?
That's fine with me.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, we have a meeting.
We can even just get here early and not have to do the phone call and just have it posted.
You guys want to do that?
Yeah.
You want to do 1:30 on the 17th?
Yeah.
And we'll give people the option of participating by phone, but everyone's got to be here anyway. So.
At 2:30.
Yeah, that works.
So 1:30 p.m. The RSC will start at 2:30. So.
We need an hour.
I don't know. We can do less.
30
Let's
minutes.
Do half an hour.
Yeah.
You want to do 2:00?
Yeah.
Okay. That works for me.
Okay. So that means that any changes in the meantime should be discussed over email or...
Nope, can't
no?
do that.
You can't talk to each other via email. You can all talk to me via email. And so you can talk to me with any ideas you have.
All complaints go to this.
So can you disseminate information?
Yes.
Okay.
And so I can share drafts if there are multiple drafts.
Got it.
Okay.
Helpful.
Perfect.
We can't facilitate discussion. So we can say, hey, here's all the feedback we've gotten.
I can't ferry back and forth.
For your discussion on this date. It can't be, hey, Yoni wants to propose this. What do you think? And then we go back to Yoni and say, okay, here's the feedback from so-and-so and so-and-so.
Sure. And I'll say, I changed my mind. Yeah. Don't want to do it anymore.
3 days later.
Right. All right, I think we're in a good place to adjourn unless anyone has anything to add. I can't thank you guys enough for just getting together in good faith and being here. I know it's a pain in the ass and y'all had to, pain in the butt, and you guys had to do juggle your schedules, so thank you.
Of course.
I really appreciate it. All right.